Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's November 3rd, Monday. And boy, do we have some fun this past weekend. My co-host's here joining me again today. I hope you enjoyed listening to her with me because I've had all sorts of fun having her on and gives me somebody to talk to. This Kristen Buzinski from WYLN in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Kristen, how's it going there?
Hey, Vince. I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. I don't know. I love this new Chase format. I feel bad for Brad Keselowski because when he needs to win, he's got to go for it, and he was going for it last night. And trying to make it three wide for the pass off the restart, then Gordon was going to go high, and then, you know, you leave a hole like that, you got to drive through it, or at least try to. And then Gordon came down, and we all saw what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, oh, boy, you know, being a Brad K. supporter, I have had many comments, Facebook inbox messages, messages on my Facebook page today, text messages. And, you know, supporter or not, I mean, Brad was there to win, and he made a move, and I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think what he did was wrong. He was racing a race. He wasn't racing, as he said very clearly, to make any friends. And I don't think Brad was in the wrong.
Nah. But, yeah, I saw a lot of comments and all on the Facebook as well. Should have told everybody to tune in tonight.
Oh, I did. Don't you worry. Because
make your answers.
Before, yeah.
We'll discuss
we
it here.
On, just before we came on, I had a couple text messages from friends that said, okay, you're going to, you know, blast Keselowski tonight. Like, you know, don't just support him because you like him and everything. And I didn't say anything to anybody. I just let it go. And I figured, well, they can hear what I have to say. But, yeah, I don't know. I think you and me and Pete were talking last week about the new Chase format and whether we liked it or not. And I'm still torn. I'm still on that 50-50. But holy moly, is it bringing a totally new twist to the racing, to NASCAR, to, you know, the post-race activities. It's just, it's crazy. I literally just stared at the TV last night in complete and utter shock over what was going on. I think my text message to you probably proved that I was just like, holy
of course, the funny thing about that is, and I had texted you a little while earlier, says, man, this is a snooze fest. I hope it gets exciting.
I know.
So Jimmy Johnson was running around in circles, stinking up the field. I was like, oh, not another one of these.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I was thinking that too.
And then, you know, he's had a dominant enough car. He should win, but then, you know, things started tightening up. We started getting some debris questions where there was actually junk on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And so you couldn't question the call for the yellow flag. I mean, it was Carl Edwards' grill was out there at one point and a couple of chunks of things. And then everybody was making the pit stops and some gambled on staying out. I think it was Johnson and Gordon gambled on staying out. And Keselowski didn't have a good run pretty much all day. He was trying to play positioning pit strategy to gain position, which he wound up doing. It looked for a while there that you had Gordon. Gordon was leading. Logano was behind him for a little bit. I mean, or did you have Logano last week? Either way, they were one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it looks like our picks are doing pretty good.
And I said, wouldn't it be crazy if it finished 1-2 with our picks? Well, that changed probably just as fast as I said it to you.
Yeah, it did. Well, tonight we're going to be joined in about 25 minutes or so by ESPN pit reporter Jamie Little, who is in the thick of things, shall we say. at the end of the race, so we'll get her take on that because she had a better view than we had. Anybody want to give us a call in the meantime? The number is 646-649-1899. That's why somebody wants to complain. Because I saw a lot of people saying that Gordon did the right thing and standing up for himself. One guy said that Brad door slammed past him. And I said, well, you know, I wouldn't quite call him that because Gordon's the one that came down and slammed the door. But he was just in the. It was just too late. If he would have came down sooner, the spotter didn't let him know. You know, he would have closed that gap. But when you leave a gap, a car, and I called it a gap the size of Texas. There, you know, anybody was going to go through it. And the Harvick would have went through it if he was in that spot too.
Right, I agree with you. And speaking of Harvick, what are your thoughts on that then?
I thought he was sleazy because once. They cleared Gordon and Keselowski and Johnson were side by side. Did you see Harvick giving him the bump to get him loose? And it was just enough to have Johnson clear Keselowski, even though Harvick knew he couldn't get around either of them. So that right. caused Brad a chance at the win. And of course, Harvick, he's in the same position, having to, I guess, win to move in. So... And then what he did on pit road after the race was over, I thought was kind of sleazy.
I mean,
everybody
so
thought him sneaking up behind there. He's all crouched down behind the car and then just went in and pushed him. Now, he didn't say anything during the post-race interview, but I'm going to see if he had anything to say. See if I got the audio on the press conference. Yeah, I do. I have the audio of the... Some audio from the press conference. I got Brad's take and Harvick. So I'll play a little bit of that. And we'll see what they had to say.
All right.
Matter of fact,
good.
I'll play Brad's right now so we can both hear it.
All right. Let's do that.
Can you hear it?
Okay, our third place finisher in tonight's 10th annual, today's 10th annual AAA Texas 500 Texas Motor Speedway is Brad Keselowski. He drove the number 2 Miller Lite Ford and came in third. Brad, certainly a gritty performance out there by the number 2 Miller Lite team. You knew what you had to do to get back in this championship hunt. I believe if I calculated it right, you're about 5 points on the other side, and
yes, sir.
So congratulations on your performance today. Just talk about it.
Yeah, we just weren't as fast as we wanted to be pretty much all weekend, and it was a scratch and claw fest. We needed some breaks to get back in it, and every time I thought we were going to catch one, it would kind of fall short. Whether it was we came in and put tires on, drove all the way up to the fifth, and really needed to get to fourth so we could be in one of the front two lanes, and the yell came out, and that jammed us up, and then another yell came out, and that jammed us up, and then another yell came out. It was just one, you know, consecutive loop of yell after yell after yell, and we just couldn't get any momentum, and we just weren't quite as fast as we wanted to be, but Paul Wolf and the guys did a great job of never giving up, adjusting, having some pretty good strategy at the end, and almost made a win out of it. Despite that, but in the end, Jimmy was just, you know, stronger than we were. Even with a little bit older tires, he was just stronger. I just didn't have the turn that I needed to really run with him, and he did a great job in holding us off. So, you know, that's just was kind of the story of the night. And then the stuff afterwards, which I'm sure you guys will ask your own questions about. You know, I'm doing everything I can to win this championship. Racing at 100%, and that's something I'm not going to be ashamed for. You know, if I was out there wrecking guys to do it, that'd be one thing, but a little bit of rubbing, I think, is probably how this sport was created and probably how it should move forward. And you know, I don't mind getting raced that way, and I don't mind racing that way. I got a little rub there at the end, too, from the four car, and it's just good racing. So proud of our effort, wish I would have been able to make two more spots out of it, but very, very close. And we'll keep, you know, fighting a good fight.
Well, that was pretty diplomatic.
I'm very impressed with how he has managed to handle his responses to all the controversy surrounding him. I mean, it seems like it's like every week it's like Brad K the bad guy, Brad K the bad guy, Brad K the bad guy. But I mean, he has maintained exactly what he has said the entire time. He was there to race and he's there to win the championship, and that's what he was trying to do. And I think he was very calm, cool, and collected in that. Didn't you think so, Vince?
Oh, definitely. He sounded like, you know, he wasn't he didn't have a temper tantrum or anything like that. He gathered his thoughts and was rather professional in the press conference. I didn't feel like going through all the questions because we'd have chewed up like about 16 minutes of the show. So let's go see what Harvick had to say. I'm sure somebody, he had his take on it as well. Hard to cue these up.
We'll go ahead and get started with our post-race press conference. We're now joined by our top finishing rookie in tonight's AAA Texas 500, Kyle Larson, driver the number 42 Target Chevrolet, a seventh place run.
What happened with that? Oh, well. We'll come back to that. I think they went to Kyle Larson first. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I was impressed with the way he handled himself in the media center afterwards, because I'm pretty sure that's where Harvick admitted he helped Brad out, because I'm sure you were glued to the set watching the post-race interviews to see who was going to say what.
I was glued to the TV. I didn't know what was going to come out of that. I just think, you know, I really believe that I think the pit crews and everyone that was on pit road at that point, I think that if Harvick wouldn't have, or if he would have minded his own business, basically, I think the crews could have settled that down, you know, Gordon, Brad, maybe share some words, go on their way, you know, and be done with it. And I think that little shove by Harvick, just, that was it. It was pre-game, a free-for-all at that point. And, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that Harvick should have been anywhere involved in that whole confrontation that was going on. That was between Brad and Jeff. And Harvick should have, frankly, minded his own business.
Definitely. So we'll have to see tomorrow when the penalties come out who's getting fined. Because, you know, Brad was on probation from before.
Mm-hmm.
So...
However, though,
on the track or on pit road with his car that would have warned him anything.
Right, that's what I think, too. I don't think, honestly, would he have been on the track? And then watching that brawl over and over and over again, he didn't even, I don't think, he didn't react on his own. And even when he was pushed into the mix of things, he didn't have a chance to react. He just was pushed and shoved and stepped on and who knows what else, and, you know, pulled out and what got away, basically. I mean, I don't know what they could find him for at this point.
Nah, I don't think that's out. Of course, the hot-headed interview of the night was Jeff Gordon. He might get fined using the S word on an air in a live interview as opposed to something being overheard from a boom mic overhead.
Right. And he clearly was irritated and made that known. But, yes, the language he used, probably not exactly appropriate for live television, but he was angry.
You're in TV, so you know all about that world. The seven-second delay, isn't it possible they could have used that?
I think so. I mean, they did in the replays. They bleeped it out every time it was on. But, I mean, I think they could have. I mean, I don't know about like a live sports broadcast. I mean, I'm not too familiar with that. I mean, but I don't see why they couldn't, or maybe they weren't expecting. I don't know. I don't think anybody was expecting that to come out of Gordon's mouth at that point.
Well, that's just it. I mean, because of the fact that even though it's live, you can still delay your broadcast by 7, 8, 10 seconds. Nobody's really going to notice. And they could edit out stuff like that. That's the only thing I don't understand. Like right now, we don't have a delay here on internet radio. So we have to control ourselves because this is family time. But actually, if I was on a different selection, if I was on Blog Talk Radio Adult Network, I can get away with that kind of stuff. We're on the Family Network with the sports talk and all that. We have to watch our own P's and Q's. Kind of like when I was at WNJC, they didn't have a delay there. And if somebody let one slip, oh, well, just hope nobody reported it. But
right.
NASCAR did slam Dale Jr. after a Talladega win. I think he had won five races in a row at Talladega back when he was driving the 8 car.
Mm-hmm.
And he let the same word slip and cost him like 25 points and $25,000 as well.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to do any points penalties in the chase, because I'll tell you right now, have you seen the standings? No, right now, nobody's moved ahead to the final, so it's working according to points.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of talk back and forth today about Gordon coming back next week and, you know, basically showing Brad on the track how he feels about what he did. But, you know, I think Gordon's a smart enough driver that he can't afford to do anything stupid or hot-headed on the track next week if he wants any kind of chance. Because is he in a must-win now, Vin? He has to win this week?
It's actually not really. He's fourth in the points, so he's at the bubble zone. So it's Logano, Hamlin, Newman, and Gordon. They're the top four. The bottom four are Kenseth, Edwards, Keselowski, and Harvick. But the gap between Gordon and Harvick was Gordon's 12 back. Kenseth and Edwards are 13 back. And Keselowski's 17 back. So that puts Harvick at 18. So that's five positions on the track.
Right.
You know, so if he winds up taking Keselowski out of contention, or they take each other out, you know, if they wind up finishing in below the top 10 in the race, they're out of it.
Right.
The amazing thing now is Johnson and Junior, who were both eliminated the same week, have the first two wins in this elimination round. So their race basically doing a good job spoiling it for, I guess, the bottom eight right now, because
right.
So it makes it kind of interesting. Now Harvick, he might have had a car. It looked like at times he was able to gain on Jimmy Johnson, so he might have had a car to get Jimmy. And if he would have got the win, would have been a different story. But I think he was more interested in moving Brad out of the way instead of trying to push Jimmy to clear him and then try to make the pass himself.
Right.
But that's the way it looked to me. I think, how did it look to you?
I agree with you 100% on that one. I wouldn't argue that point at all. And I think it's actually kind of comical that, you know, Dale and Jimmy pulling off these wins and really throwing a wrench in some of these chase players' plans, I guess you could say, when it comes to, you know, the chase standings. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it sure is. It's just going to – now we're going to go from 185-mile-an-hour track down to Phoenix, which is a flat mile like New Hampshire, so it's going to be a lot slower. So there's going to be more short track style racing there, so that'll be interesting to see who does what.
Who's good at that track? Who excels there that we should keep an eye on?
Okay, let me see. How did the first race, let me see how the first race of the year looked. Harvick, Jr., Keselowski, Logano, Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Newman, and Edwards. We'll say basically all the chasers minus two, Jr. and Johnson. So basically all that was involved last night finished in the top six with Harvick getting the win.
Mm-hmm.
So...
This will be an interesting race to the least.
That's for sure.
I don't know. I mean, in my book, let's only hope for no fighting on pit road afterwards. I'm sure there's other people who are thinking the exact opposite. But I don't know.
Yeah, but everybody in the top eight needs to do well there. And everybody... that's in the elimination round going for the final four for Homestead runs well there. So I think they're going to have to keep themselves in check for a while.
I think so too. And I think tomorrow you said that there are any penalties, they will be handed out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's when NASCAR does all their disciplinary activity.
I heard them say, I could be wrong on this, NASCAR did not call anyone to the hauler after the race.
No, they didn't. As far as I could tell, I didn't see anything there because usually they'll call them in for on track. And if they did something with the, if they did something with the car afterwards, but everybody was out of the car and, Gordon went over to Keselowski's car, and he was able to get it out, took us, they were all helmetless. So I think if they had their say and then Kes would have walked off and then, like you said, things would have calmed down after that. But,
you could see that the pickers were – especially Gordon, I think they pushed it a little bit too in the sense of egging on, the two crew. Just emotions were running so high. But you and I were talking before we went on air. I'm still trying to figure out who the team was where Brad pulled his car on pit road, the yellow team, and they seemed to be contributing to the May. The melee in pit road. We didn't know who that is.
I guess we'll have to ask Jamie when she calls in because she was standing right there.
The poor girl, I was like, holy cow. I mean, and I know it's her job and been there, done that. I've been in some crazy situations with a microphone in my hand. But she stayed right in the mix of it all. And I said to you, she was right in there and she talked to Brad. I mean, he didn't even leave the area, really. And she had him for his first interview. And, that was scary. I'm sure she was scared at some point about, because there was dozens of men just involved in that brawl.
Yeah, I mean, three Hendrick's pit crews at least. And maybe one other. But
yeah.
You really didn't see the Penske guys. I mean, there was a couple of them there, but there was more Hendrick's crew from three different teams between Gordon Johnson and Kane's. I couldn't see if Junior's team was there, but I know Kane's and Gordon's.
I didn't see any of them. Like you said, I mean, there really weren't too many. I mean, you can't miss the Miller Lite when they wear those white fire suits. I mean, they stick out, And there really wasn't too many of them involved in it. I saw a couple of them, But I could see at first, you knew as soon as that happened on the track, you knew something was going to happen after that race. I mean, Gordon was going to be fired up. But
to me,
it looked as though those couple, two crew members who were there, were really trying to just stay calm, you know, cool and collective, and just kind of make sure Brad got away from the area, you know, safely and quickly, because they knew what was going to happen as well. And then it just went from 0 to 100 in no time.
Yeah, I know one thing, though. When Gordon got his tire cut and he came into the pits, they went right to the left sides and changed them first, when you could see the right rear was, I mean, they went to the right sides and changed those tires first. And he was trying to save a lap, and they were coming around to the left side. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see that's the tire that was shredded. If they went there first, he might have been able mm-hmm. to stay on the lead lap, and, you know, he would have had the battle for position, but he might have had a better shot of it. But mm-hmm. as it was, when they called it, I said, there's no way he, you know, got out ahead of the pace car. He would have had to go, he wound up a lap down. And where did he wind up finishing? Actually, fifth. He did get a lap back, so.
Yeah.
I take that back. That's Phoenix.
Oh, that was Phoenix.
Let me bring back this week's results. He wound up, I'm saying he couldn't wound up in the top. He was a couple laps down, or a lap down. He finished 29th, one lap down, so.
What was the, so he came into pit road, went back out, or what was the, I was kind of missing things because I was trying to get my son ready for school the next day. They said he came back on pit road and had a stop, or what happened there? Do you remember?
Yeah, he came in early to get his tires, get four tires changed, but he didn't make it back out ahead of the pace car.
Oh, okay.
So at that particular point, he lost a lap, and then he came back in to change the left side tires, and by then they were getting ready for green white checker time, and he was finished where he finished, and then of course he came into pits after the race where how all the cars wind up. But winner goes to victory lane. Everybody else, I guess, has to go through a final tech to see, make sure the cars mm-hmm. are at the right height.
Right. So yeah.
Just has to
just all of that.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting race.
It was
boring
it was,
in the beginning.
It was comical how you and I were talking about how it was such a snooze fest. And it went from News Fest to a WWE Championship wrestling match in no time.
Well, I think once we both agreed it was a snoozer, then that's when things change. So I have to call you more often if I think it's. I text you more often earlier if I think it's kind of boring.
There you go.
I don't know. I missed the truck race, but I did catch the nationwide. And it looked like Kyle Busch, you would think he won the truck race. He won the nationwide race again, and he was going for the weekend sweep.
Mm-hmm.
There was a while there on one of the restarts where he was going four wide. And that's when Newman got clipped. It was him, Newman, Kenseth, and Vickers going four wide, and that brought out one of the yellows, so.
Right.
Anyway, that's pretty interesting. Well, right now, let me welcome to the show our very special guest, ESPN pit reporter, who was in the middle of everything there, the one, the only lovely and talented Jamie Little. Jamie, welcome back to Garage Talk Live with me and my co-host, Kristen.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for coming on.
If there's one
It's been a crazy day.
I bet it has. I was just telling Vince, I was like, I think I was focusing more on you at being a news reporter and seeing you and pretty much the only female in the whole mix of things, and I'm looking, Jamie, oh my goodness.
It's funny. I got a lot of that today. It was funny. You know, I was on autopilot, and that's the only way to explain it. Like, I belong there. That was my spot. I wasn't moving, and I was getting my interview no matter what. I didn't care. Sure, my eyes were up. I knew what was happening, and if a blow came my way, I was going to probably have to give it back. But I definitely wasn't nervous at all about anything.
The thing of it is, too, is when I saw you in the mix of things, and you always seem to get the Brad Keselowski interviews for some reason. I don't know if it's the luck of the draw or how that works. And
it's the luck of the draw.
As soon as I seen the crowd, you were just going with the flow. But apparently, I don't know, from our angle, it was going to settle down until Harvick got involved.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it felt. It was like, okay, they're all at each other's throats. Everything was getting crazy, and then they were kind of dying off. You know, all the crew members were blocking all the fighters. And then all of a sudden, it just got riled up again. At that point, I didn't see Harvick get involved because I was too far in right next to Brad when it happened. And then he pushed him, and the whole crowd just went crazy. And I felt like I was in a mosh pit, like we were just all together pushing together. And it was wild.
It was wild. And I said to Vince, I said, I really think that if Harvick, you know, quite frankly, would have just minded his own business, I really think Brad and Jeff would have just gone their separate ways. You know, Jeff would have exchanged some words. The crews would have had some words with each other, maybe a little push and shoving, but I think it would have been done. And I think that just Harvick pushing Brad in, that just escalated everything. And we were saying it wasn't even just the two crew and the 24 team. You saw like four or five teams involved in this too.
Yeah, Paul Menard's guys, because it was in their pit box where it all happened, because that just happened to be the spot where NASCAR was stopping the 2 through 5 finishers. And so all his crew guys were on the wall, and they were trying to help and, like, hold other crew guys back from going in after the driver. They were kind of standing there on guard, and they were trying to protect me, I found out later on, you know, like pushing guys away from me in that whole mess up. And then you had one of Casey Kane's guys jump in out of nowhere and start throwing punches.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we landed the ones on Keselowski. Thanks for clearing that up, Jamie, because Kristen and I were wondering who – whose crew was in yellow that was in there?
Yeah,
that was Paul Menard's guys, and I don't think they were throwing punches, but I did see them grabbing people back, just trying to keep them separated.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be, I don't know, is that one of the worst post-race scuffles that you've been involved in or in the middle of?
Definitely. I've been in the middle of some big ones. The Jeff Gordon, Clint Bowyer just 2 years ago at Phoenix Melee, I was in the middle of with punches being thrown and teams going nuts and running. But I've never seen punches landed like they were, especially on a driver's face. Mm-hmm. You know, and for that, it's the biggest, because usually they leave their helmets on or the team members separate drivers before they're hit. But I don't think drivers got a hold of each other. I think it was the team members hitting the drivers.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I don't think Jeff and Brad made any contact, to tell you the truth.
It's hard to say. There's so many angles of it, and there were so many people in there, you really have to dissect it thoroughly. But or ask Jeff, but I'm sure he would say yes, he landed a punch on Brad no matter what. So who knows?
Very true.
I just ran the audio of Keselowski in the press conference, and he didn't seem to be upset. He sounded professional, and, you know, kind of that's the way I raced, kind of the way he told you, and he had a chance to catch his breath. It was about the only difference, I think, from when your interview with him to the time he got there. But I don't know, the kid's one of the ones to watch in the future, whether you love him or hate him. He talks like a champion, he drives like a champion, and I know a lot of champions are saying he acts like a kid, but I don't know. I thought Gordon was the one who got a little bit unruly there, but on the replay, it shows from the gap that Gordon left him. You could have drove a tractor trailer through that, and that's what Keselowski went for.
Yeah, I don't think Brad was in the wrong there at all. There was an opening. He went for it. Jeff Gordon would have done the exact same thing. Jeff just made it too wide, then he tried to stop him and block him, and Brad was already there. He was too fast. So he did what he was supposed to do. He wasn't in the wrong. But it's been something that's been building for those guys, you know, for Jeff over half of this year at least. So it just boiled over, and that was his time, that he just had enough. And you're right, Brad is, he's a champion, and he backs up his words. He talks a lot, but he doesn't talk crap. He just talks his mind. And a lot of people don't really like that, but he has his own style, and he's unapologetic. He doesn't care if people like him or not.
I'm actually a Brad fan, thanks to my 8-year-old son who follows him so closely. But I think that is something that, you know, like Vince said, you either love or you hate him. And I think he's going to be one of those drivers where you do. You either love him or you hate him. But, I mean, for a driver who can back himself up, he keeps his word, he really, and you said, like you said, he doesn't talk crap. He doesn't. You never really hear him bashing another driver, even when he's the bashed driver. So he kind of just is always, like, you know, calm, cool, and collective. And people I saw on social media all day today, like, that's not how a champion acts. That's not how a champion does things, yada, yada, yada. No, I disagree with that, because I think he's being a complete champion. He wants to win. He's there to win. And like he said a zillion times this season already, he's not there to make friends and doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have gotten used to seeing the Jimmy Johnson champion. He wouldn't do things like that. He just is more mild-mannered. He just lets his driving do his speaking. But Brad isn't that way. He thinks a lot. He's a thinker. And Carl Edwards is the same way, but Carl is more subdued. Carl hasn't been in the limelight as a champion yet. You know, and Brad, I like his brash style, and he's so, you've got to respect him, especially as a reporter. He always gives you his take. He's always honest. He's very respectful. And I mean, last night after all that, I put a microphone in front of him and he speaks, he answers the questions well, and that's all you can ask for of somebody. And I think that really shows the character that he has.
Right. I agree with you 150%. And like I've said to Vince so many times, I've had the opportunity to be around Brad off the track and around my son. So completely not in the racer state of mind, but, you know, with an 8-year-old, or at that point a 6 and a 7-year-old. And he was just a really great person. He was a really great guy.
He loves his fans.
Yeah. There's some other drivers that, you know, walked right past him, it could have given two craps that he was even there, which is fine. I get that. I get, you know, you're in a state of mind, you're there to race, or maybe you're not having a good day, whatever, but Brad never, ever was like that. He does love his fans. You can see it.
Yeah. And Roger Penske backs his driver 100%, so that tells you right there what kind of person Brad is. You know?
Exactly.
Roger's had hot-headed drivers before. He's let hot-headed drivers go before. And he really stands by Brad because he knows, you know, the commitment that he has to winning. I mean, that's all this kid cares about, and he cares about his team and takes care of them. And, you know, I think he talks a little bit much for their likeness because they end up having to get in these scuffles too. But that's just part of him. That's who he is. He's young and he's brash, and people love him for that. And, you know, I think people forget that Jeff Gordon, for many years of his racing career, people hated him because he was the young guy. He was brash. He was super talented. He was aggressive, and he won championships young. People hated that about Jeff Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those days.
It's funny because I was just going to say, my father, when he came in this morning, he comes and puts my son on the bus in the morning, and he said the same thing. He said, oh, I saw, you know, Brad and Jeff. He's like, I think people seem to forget how much Jeff was just like Brad in a way, and the fans didn't really like him either. And, you know, and it was just funny, like, you know, hearing that coming from, you know, my father, who's been a race fan for years, and watching that years ago. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Brad was racing the race, and I think Jeff used to, or race and win, and that's what Jeff used to do the same thing. And I think this whole chase thing is just has everyone crazy and up in arms, I think.
Yeah.
Jamie, when you first heard of the new chase format, what did you think when they came out with it? Did you think, it's something to shake things up? You think it was going to be exciting, way to break the Jimmy Johnson dynasty, or what?
I thought it was going to be exciting. I liked it. It was more like we see in other sports where they have the brackets, they have, the playoffs. We didn't have something like that, really. I mean, we had the chase, but it was 10 races long, and it was like, even if you were in the chase, you could have a few horrible races and there was no chance you were winning the championship, yet we still had to call you a chaser. And that really isn't correct either. So I thought, man, this new format's going to mix it up and make it exciting. Well, it's way beyond what I ever thought it would be. I think the same goes for everybody. We weren't sure what to expect, but seeing this passion and this angst that, the pressure is boiling over. I mean, it's beyond, I think, what NASCAR had hoped for.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I know it's driving up the social media hot button because everybody's talking about what happened. And you look at Talladega where, Keselowski, Johnson, and Junior they had to win to stay in, and he drove Keselowski, won that race to move on, and I don't know. I like the way the whole season's been set up as far as you have to win to get in, but you still have to be consistent if you didn't win, because there were so many that made the chase, and that's paying off here in the chase with the eliminations.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. You've got guys with so many wins on the season, and then you've got guys with no wins, and they could all have a chance at this at Homestead. And, I mean, who would have thought all that was going to happen? So I'm watching the NBC Nightly News right now, and they're showing the fight on it with Brian Williams. I mean, it's crazy coverage that this has, I believe that this new chase format has sparked all of this.
Oh, that's right. You're
I
a couple
agree.
Hours.
I think it has.
You're in a different time zone than we are.
Yeah, I watch things later than you guys. I'm Pacific time.
Now, did you get home, or are you still out in Texas?
I'm in Vegas. I came home right after the race. I drove to the airport and flew home. After all that craziness, I had to chill out and sit on a 3-hour flight. That was kind of torture.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, either torture or a blessing to have just that downtime.
Yeah, I would have liked to sit and discussed it with my coworkers over a nice cold beer, but I had to wait and get home.
Speaking of home, how's your son doing?
He's great. He's 2 years old now and a handful. It's funny, you guys are my ninth interview of the day, and trying to hide out in rooms where it's quiet, where he's not yelling for me, has been challenging today.
I'm not letting him in. We're like family here. Kristen's got a son.
Yeah.
I got cats, but they don't count.
They count. They're part of the family. I have two furry babies, too. Dogs.
Yeah, they're all part of the family. Yeah, I know it's very, it was just so weird that I said, man, I know it's been a while since I had you on, and you were off for a while for maternity leave and having the baby and all that. And I'm like, I got to give it a shot. Hopefully she'll come through. And you did. I appreciate you coming on such short notice like that. But you probably knew your phone was going to get ringing off the hook.
Yeah, it was. It has been crazy. The phone, the text, the tweets. It's been hilarious. I mean, you just, as a reporter, you're in there, you're doing your job, and looking back, you just hope that you did the best you could and that you handled yourself well and you did the job. And I did. And so the feedback has been really positive, because it could all easily go the other way. Why is there a girl in there? Get the girl out of there. But I feel like I stood up for women and that we belong there. And, it all comes down to the job. It doesn't matter if you're male or female.
No way. I thought it was cool. I loved it. I told Vince before we came on the air, I said, I just was like almost like cheering Jamie on in there, because you weren't backing down. And then you know, you could even see you were even out of breath and everything, but you got right to Brad and got that interview, and he, you know, it was crazy. And I think, like, when I was watching it live, I had to watch it a couple times to really grasp what had just happened. I'm sure you did,
right,
too. You had to kind of go back and think, like, wow, like, what? Did that
really
happen?
Oh, yeah, because it was all a blur. I had to go back and actually see, okay, now what led to what? Where was everybody? And, yeah, it was wild.
It really was.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me on.
Well, I'm thankful that you screwed out some time for us. It doesn't help that you're one of the tallest people on Pitt Road, too, either, Jamie.
Yes, that does, it helps me. I could see everything, and I can see what's coming and hold my own. You know, you can't be small and timid and be in a mix of testosterone like that.
No way. It did good for us women, Jamie.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss the ESPN coverage next year when I go to NBC. So, but will you still be doing IndyCar?
I'm going to Fox, and I won't be doing IndyCar, just NASCAR next year.
Oh, well, we should go to Fox, sir.
Yeah, that's good.
So we'll still get
That'll
to catch up
time.
With you. Well, Jamie,
yep.
I'm going to let you roll. You've been busy all day, busy all night. Say hi to your boy and everybody at home. Thanks for coming on short notice, and we'll have you on again soon, or maybe we'll preview the season going into the Daytona 500, because that's always an exciting time of the year as well.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Jamie.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Take
Bye.
Care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And there's Jamie Little, ESPN pit reporter, in the middle of it all. I'll tell you, Kristen, it was great having her on. You get the bird's eye view of things.
Absolutely. I love what she said. She's like, I had a job to do and I was going to do it. She wasn't backing down.
I think she was ready to throw punches if she had to, too. I was expecting that.
and what you said about her being one of the tallest on pit road, it's like, she might be a girl, but don't count her out when it comes to certain things.
Well, if you get to go to a race before me next year, and because I think Fox has all the way up, there's no TNT anymore. ESPN's done, so she's going to Fox. That's a good thing. At least she still has a job. Well, I like Jamie. She's always come on. She once called. She was out. She was out on a boat and called in when she was at.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
She's always
That's
done
funny.
Me a solid. So if you ever run into her, you can't miss her for one. She's probably one of the only two people on pit road, and just let her know who you are, and hopefully she'll remember you.
I absolutely will definitely say something to her. I was figuring that her schedule was so filled today with interviews, and I'm sure her phone was dinging off the hook today between social media alerts and phone calls and everything else.
I mean, it's got to be nuts. And like I said, I sent my text at like 7:51 last night. And I saw it at 11 o'clock this morning. She had got back and said she'd come on. I said, yes. Because originally I was going for the defending NHRA Top Fuel champ, Sean Langdon, because they're winding up their season. And then when they said he couldn't do it, I was going for one of the John Force Racing because he was going for a 17th Funny Car Championship, and I hadn't heard back from them. And their PR guy, he just won the Jim Chapman Award for Outstanding Public Relations in Motorsports. So, and then So I scheduled Jamie for 11:30 in case somebody from Force Racing called in at quarter after. But That's when I put them for. But Jamie came through, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good. It was good talking to her. I'm sure she is anticipating a very exciting Phoenix this weekend.
Yeah, I think we all are after that. As a matter of fact, being you have to get ready to go on WILN for the 10 o'clock late edition anchor spot. I'm still waiting to see you. I still never, did you ever find that clip that the guy did the next night?
You know, it's crazy because last time I was at the station, he actually had gotten back fairly late from a shoot that he was on, and I was racing to get some scripts written and get on the air, and then I didn't ask him. Tonight, same thing. So I promise you, I will, if I don't get to talk to him, I will shoot him a message and ask him to, even if it's not available, cut it out for me of the sports that night and share it with me so I can share it with you.
That's cool, because I want to make sure he did you a solid, because that was nice of him to do that, so.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Well, let's see. We got Phoenix coming up. Let's see who we're going to pick this week. Now, let me see. One of the culprits of last night's incident is Harvick. He's the one who won the race earlier, so. But the pole sitter for that race was the Blue Deuce, or the White Deuce, depending on which color he's run this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Junior was second. Logano was fourth. Gordon was fifth. Jimmy Johnson was sixth. Newman was seventh. Edwards was eighth. Kyle Busch was ninth. McMurray, 10th. 11th, Casey Kane. So we're going to cut it. I'm going to cut it off there. If you want anybody out of the realm, let me know, and I'll let you know where they started and finished.
Well, I'm good. I know who I'm picking.
So if you're that sure,
give
it to me.
I'll tell you what, it's going to burn my stomach to even say it, but I know who I'm picking.
Okay.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know. Being Johnson won, I want to rule him out. Because repeating, he's done that enough times. He did it three times earlier this year between Charlotte, Dover, and the week after. But Harvick won this race. I don't know. I don't want to go with Harvick because I think he's got a shot at it. But, maybe I'll go with him to jinx him. I'll go with Harvick.
You're going with Harvick. You know, this is hilarious, Vince, because I think, I swear to God, we're, like, connected somehow in the brain. Because that's exactly who I was going to go with. And last week, if you remember, we both were going to go with Logano.
And then we both were going to go with Gordon. So we had to split that one. Well, Harvick led four times for 224 laps. So, you want Harvick? I'll give you Harvick.
Yeah, I'll pick
Keselowski.
Oh, boy.
Because he's going to do what he can to take that win. He needs it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is very, very true. It makes me sick to my stomach to pick Harvick after this last week, but that's who I'm going with.
Well, it's just kind of ironic that we're 2 months on the same wavelength.
Seriously, it's crazy. And we whoever's listening at home, we don't talk about our picks until we're right on, you know, on the air. So there's no way either of us would know.
No, I don't even think about who I'm going to pick until this close to the end of the show, so it's so you want me to post it up for you on the page, or you want to do it at your leisure later on?
Nope, you can do it. You're good to go. You can post that for me. Yeah, I actually, you know what? I'd feel better if you typed it.
Alrighty. So, okay, you got the closer, Kevin Harvick, who his new nickname should be Troublemaker. And I'm going to go with Bad Brad Needs It Bad.
Oh, goodness, does he ever. And you know what? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know, coming from me, Kozlowski fan. Oh, if he wins in Phoenix, it is just going to burn some people up.
And you're going to scream my ear off next Monday, or you're going to call me up Sunday night and go, ah.
Yeah, you better get ready for it, because if he pulls off a win in Phoenix, that's it. I'll go to work on Monday with no voice.
You can just hear you. Man, we're here joined by Kristen. That's a god.
Oh, Lord. I'm like, actually, like, I usually am very excited for the weekend, but obviously it's only Monday, so we have a long time to wait. So I'm usually excited for the weekend. Lots of fun things I do with my son and fun things planned. And, like, I'm very excited for Sunday. I can't wait for the three. I really can't.
Well, let's see. The race starts at what, 3:30?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
I think coverage starts at 3, but yeah, 3:30.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock? Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock. That's green flag drop. 2 p.m. coverage on ESPN, where our guest will be plying her trade again, trying to hopefully not have to dodge punches. So, all right then. You've got Harvick. I've got the Kez. So, what's up and new and exciting for the news up there tonight, other than, that story about them catching that cop killer run its course, or are they still talking about that one?
Yeah, we're still talking about it. I think that's going to be talked about for a long time, to tell you the truth. That's not going to go away anytime soon, and I'm happy about that, and I'm happy that that they caught him, because a lot of people were starting to, lose confidence in the Pennsylvania State Police that he was even, you know, there anymore. A lot of people were saying he's long gone, he's in Canada, he's down south, he's this, he's that. But, you know, I'm sorry, they wouldn't have used that much manpower and that much money to continue to search for him if they didn't have really good intelligence that he was still there, and he was, and now he's in custody. And, you know, hopefully, well, justice has already been served, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, we're still talking about that and some other nasty crimes that have gone on in the area and, you know, all that fun stuff. And, talking about sports, Joe Maddon, he's a Hazleton native. Joe Madden's now the manager of the Chicago Cubs. The Tampa Bay Rays a little early from his contract and signed with the Cubs now as their head man.
Cool. Always like to when local people make big.
Yes, and honestly, I've had the opportunity many a times to speak with Joe and interview him and talk with him just off camera, a normal conversation. And he's a really great guy, and he never forgets his roots of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, which is awesome. So that's big news these days around the Hazleton area. So yeah, always exciting.
Cool. Now WYLN, you have, is that an independent station or is it like a network, like a CW type or?
We're independent, owned by a really great family. Been on the air. Oh, somebody just told me last week when I was at the station, like maybe 30-some years, 20-some years. But, yeah, really great. I mean, the family that owns the station, the Gans family, They do so much for the community of Hazleton and beyond with fundraisers and broadcasting telethons for nonprofit organizations, and just the things that WYLN does for the community is amazing. And yes, it's a really great place. But yes, it's an independent station, broadcast station, and we are on. Actually, when people are at the race in Pocono, they can see us.
Cool. Well, I better let you go. You got to get to do your real work instead of bantering with me and keeping me company for an hour. So,
I love being on with you, Vince. You know that.
So we'll pick this up, I guess, same time next week. Then,
oh, it's going to be exciting. I mean, you and I will be chatting before that because you know we'll be watching the race on Sunday. But yeah, we'll see what happens, what comes our way for Monday's show.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I'll let you roll so I can sign off. Thanks again for giving me the honor of being my co-host for the rest of the season and beyond if you like. It's up to you because wintertime is kind of tough. I try to interview either up-and-coming drivers and in all forms of motorsports that way. And if I can get special celebrity guests on, I'll do that.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, whenever you need someone to talk to on here, you let me know.
Oh, I'm always glad to have you on. It's always fun going back and forth and having you to bounce things off of as well. So I used to do, you know, when I first started the show, I've had co-hosts for the first 3 years, and then after that it became I don't know, I did it for myself for a while, and I was starting to get bored again doing it myself. And I reached out to you, and you were happy to humor me and made the show fun again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here anytime you need me, Vince. It's been a lot of fun. I like to be able to talk NASCAR and talk about all things related to it, and it's a lot of fun for me, so I appreciate you having me.
Well, we'll let you go, and I'm going to get us some drag racing guests. They're off next week, so they should be able to come on. I don't know who, but maybe Alexis DeJoria. Her father founded Paul Mitchell Hair Products and Patron Tequila.
Oh, okay. Yep, good guess.
So she's running the funny car circuit, so she's been on before, so I'll try to get her on again. Being she's not in the middle of a championship fight, so she might be easier to talk to.
But, well, that sounds good to me. You let me know, and you and I will chat during the week.
All righty. Sounds good.
All right, Vince. You have a good night, and everyone at home, thanks for listening. We'll talk next week.
That's right. And I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. Good night, and good racing.
Yeah. 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 I said he was on the chair.